Thank you for tuning in to the Essential Church Podcast, a church where we focus on restoration over denomination. If you're in the Virginia Beach area and would like to find out more about Essential Church, visit our webpage at essentialchurch.com.
Well, I don't know about you guys, but there's something about music that gets me pumped up. While the worship team is up here doing what they do, I'm back in the back. I'm like bouncing. I'm ready to roll. I'm ready to go. It's kind of like if you guys ever watch MMA, you see those guys that are coming down the aisle. You know, it's not all somber and quiet when they're coming down their aisle. They've got their music rocking and they're coming down the aisle and they're pumped up and they're ready to go. And they get into the ring and they run around a couple of times and trying to burn off that excess energy. And then it's go time, right? Well, that's kind of how I feel right now this morning. It's not caffeine. It's just energy from the music. It gets me going. I'm so excited by that. But when I think about MMA, there's something else that I think about. There was a time where, when I grew up in a small town, but it was a rough town, and I grew up on the wrong side of the tracks. So it was pretty common weekly that I would have to fight and be in a fist fight with one of my neighbor. Well, we'd be friends later, but one of my neighbor guys, you know, and we would have to fight. It was very, very common in my neighborhood. So as I was getting married with Dawn and then having kids, we thought, well, let's try to make sure we're in a different area so that our kids don't have to grow up fighting every week for whatever reason. So we did. We moved to an even smaller community, and my kids did not have to fight growing up. As a matter of fact, I don't think really they've ever been in a fist fight. But in the middle of that, I thought, man, I really need my son to know how to defend himself. So we put him in jiu-jitsu. He's been doing that for about 4 years, and actually he's quite good at jiu-jitsu, very strong young man and very, very technical with his skills. Love it. It's great. So I would take him over and over and over again, and I would watch him do this jiu-jitsu, and there came a point where I was like, I want to do that. I want to do that. That looks like a lot of fun. I want to do that. So there's a couple of guys here at Essential that are black belts, and they kind of took me under their wing, and I was working with them a little bit, and we would roll around, and, you know, they were training me, and, you know, a couple months, really, into that training, there was an opportunity to show up for an open mat. If any of you guys do jiu-jitsu or Muay Thai or any of that stuff, you know when there's an open mat opportunity, you show up, and you get to roll with whoever's there. So, 3 months in, white belt. I'm looking around the room, and lo and behold, one of our students from our youth ministry is there. And it's not my son. So I'm like, yes, that's him. He's the one. He's the one. So I've been training for like 3 months. This kid, his mom's a blue belt, his dad's a black belt. He's been training jiu-jitsu since he came out of the womb. Like, this kid is good, okay? But I'm like, I'm way bigger than him. I'm way stronger than him. I got this. I'm going to roll with him. I'll even take it easy. That's what I'm thinking. I'll take it easy on him. So we start going at it a little bit, you know, and if you know jiu-jitsu, he has me in his guard, and he's trying to pull me down, and I'm posturing up. You guys know that. Like, my coach is like, you got to posture up. So I'm trying to stay off of his chest and stay up tall, and he keeps working it. And then about 3 minutes into the round, I'm probably starting to wear out, to be honest, but about 3 minutes into the round, he does some Houdini stuff on me. And the next thing I know, like, he has one leg over my neck, and one leg over his other leg. You all know what I'm talking about? He has me in a triangle chokehold. And I'm like, oh boy, this is not good. And I'm thinking, oh, come on, clock. Come on, clock, ring. Come on, bell. And he starts to sink it in a little bit tighter. And I'm like, oh, I can't have this happen. So I'm like fighting. Mind you, this is one of our students. So I'm like fighting. I'm like, I'm stronger than him. I can get him off of me. As opposed to like standing up and power bombing him, I kind of got sunk in really tight, and then stuff started to go black. And I was like, so I tapped. I had to tap. I was about to fall asleep. So I share that little bit of experience that I've had with Jared Esteban is the student's name. When I finally kind of came to, I was still on top of him because he let go of his legs, and I said, we'll never speak of this. And his parents told me when they left today they had never heard that story. So he is held to his end of the bargain. But let me just be honest. This kid, he put it on me. And I think, as I thought I was being easy on him, I think I got three minutes in that round because he took it easy on me. But I tell you that stuff to let you know this. We need to be prepared for the battles that come our way. I was not ready. My white belt, 3 months of training, didn't matter how big I was, this guy put it on me. But we are in a battle. We are absolutely in a battle. And it's very, very real. And I'm not going to get into a whole lot of spiritual warfare kind of talk, but I want you to know that it is indeed real. To open your Bibles with me to Ephesians 6, and it's on page 2141. If you have a paper Bible that's just like mine. Or it's Siri, Google, Ephesians 6, 10 through 20. Let me read it to you if you don't have your word with you today. It says, finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. I'm not in any way, shape, or form trying to say that Jared is a devil, okay? He just choked me out. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Now, the fact that you were not able to check your kids in this morning was because I was here for 9 hours yesterday with a complete power outage. So for me, my battle was against dominion power all day yesterday. But we had some things that got burned out in the whole process. So thanks for bearing with us. If you were not able to check in your kids, I don't see anybody with name tags. So sounds like that situation is still in full swing. So let's keep going. Therefore, verse 13, therefore, put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you've done everything to stand, stand firm then. Stand firm then with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all of this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert. Always keep on praying for all the saints. Now, keep in mind, when Paul is writing this letter to the Ephesians, those folks would know exactly what he is talking about when he's talking about the belt. They would know exactly what he's talking about when he's talking about the breastplate. He's describing a Roman soldier. A Roman soldier. So they didn't need a visual aid. They had one. They were walking around all over the place at that time. But this morning, I'm going to give you a visual aid. But I'm going to start with this. The very first thing that jumps off the page to me in this scripture is that we need to know our enemy. It is very real. The enemy is very real. And he's clever. And it says here, his schemes. But what I want you to know is this. The devil is not God. He's not powerful like God. God can be everywhere all the time. The devil cannot. God knows exactly what you're thinking. The devil does not. So don't allow the enemy to have that kind of power in your life to where you over-spiritualize everything and everything gets blamed on him. But also understand that it is very real. And I'm going to share with you a few ways to defeat him. Here's the thing. When I was growing up, like I said, I grew up in a rough neighborhood, so I had to fight a lot. And it wasn't uncommon for me to be in school and for somebody to go, hey, man, I know somebody who's going to fight with you tonight after school. And what would be my first question every time? Who? Who? Like, if it's Jeff, okay, come on, bring it, it's on. But if it's Jeff's sister, I'm running home. Like, dead sprint as fast as I can get there. You need to know your enemy, and you need to know him well. Here's the armor. Here's the armor. It starts with the belt of truth. I said I'd bring you some visual aid, so I did. The belt of truth. This is a belt that belongs on somebody who's heading into a riot or some kind of combat, okay? Ooh, and we're about the same size. That's good, because he's probably in better shape than me. the belt of truth wrapped around your waist. And that day, it would be very obvious that the Roman soldiers, they kind of wear a sheet, is sort of what it is, a tunic. It's kind of like a, they just got a sheet on, okay? And then they would put this belt on. And when they cinch this belt tight, it allows for freedom for them to move around very easily. They would put everything up in it, tuck everything in it, strap it on tight, and they were ready for battle. But the thing that I take from that that is the most critical is the fact that that belt would bring freedom. And the scriptures tell me very clearly that the truth will set you free. The belt brings freedom. The belt of truth. Who is the truth? I am the way, the truth, and life. It's Jesus. I want you to pay very close attention to each piece of this armor and how it relates to Christ. It's interesting because as I was doing my studies for this, I think I'm not that smart, but I stumbled upon the fact that this is really how you clothe yourself in Christ. I've heard people say that for years. I never really fully understood what it meant, like clothe myself in Christ. What are you talking about? I think I figured it out. It's this. It's the armor. So you have the truth. You have the truth. What's the opposite of truth?
A lie.
A lie, thank you. A lie. Who's the father of lies? Satan's the father of lies. Do you realize that Satan does not have to convince you to follow him to win? He doesn't have to convince you to follow him. He doesn't have to have you radicalized in such a way that you have 666 tattooed on your head. He doesn't have to do that. That's not even his purpose. He doesn't have to have you in that realm. He simply has to get you to walk away from Jesus. That's it. It's his only goal. He's come to destroy you. And that's his way of doing so. That's it. To destroy you, because he's the author of lies. The breastplate of righteousness. Now, righteousness is living morally right, okay? So if you are living morally right in every way, you are living a righteous life. This is going to represent our breastplate of righteousness today. Actually, no, it's not. That is not heavy enough. Let's try this one. This is more like what we need to be wearing. It's bulletproof. It's Kevlar. It's really heavy. I can't imagine wearing it. This is a breastplate of righteousness. And I know that when I think about righteousness, I think about living right. I think about doing everything right. It's really heavy. But I know that I'll never fully reach righteousness this side of heaven. And that's hard for me sometimes to think about how hard I might try, but yet I'll never reach righteousness. But I still strive for perfection. How many of you have ever bowled a 300 game? Sweet. I'm so glad none of you raised your hands because that helps me with my analogy. How many of you still go bowling? Even though you know you're not going to bowl a 300, right? You might not reach perfection, but you don't stop striving for it. You have to strive for it. You guys, anybody know, was Jesus tempted? Yeah. Did Jesus sin? Okay. So here's a lie that the enemy would try to have you believe. Just the fact that you've been tempted, you've already fallen, you might as well just keep going, right? That's a lie. That's a lie. And it's a lie that I've heard myself many, many times. You've already been tempted to do it, so hey, why not? Just do it. Anybody else with me? I might be the only person in here that's ever struggled with that, but that's a lie. That's a lie. Breastplate of righteousness is the only way you're going to overcome those kind of attacks. The next one is having your feet fitted with the readiness of the gospel of peace. I think this is my favorite one. Well, at least for today. I'm going to use boots because soldiers wear boots, right? Soldiers, they don't wear flip-flops. Like, there's no flip-flop brigade. They're like, nobody's afraid of the flip-flop brigade, right? Like, bring it on. This will be done by lunch kind of thing. Nobody's scared of that. But they wear boots. And I would venture to guess, if you have been in combat and you were wearing your boots, you very likely slept in your boots. Why? Because you never know when the enemy is going to attack. You never know when he's going to attack. You never know when he's going to attack. When I think of that, I wonder how many of us know the gospel of peace. How many of us can really strap that on when we think about the gospel? It's the good news. It's the good news that Jesus came and he died for you. He came and he died for you. That should bring peace. So when these fiery darts come from the enemy, that should bring peace. Shoes will bring a couple of other things as well. I just watched on Facebook. I don't do a lot of Facebook, but I happened to be scanning through and I saw this, so I watched it. There's a rugby team that were on the sled. Y'all know what the tackling sled is, or you know where those linemen typically jump on it and push it all the way across the field in football? It is Super Bowl Sunday. I had to do a football analogy. So there's this sled, this tackling sled, and these guys are there, or blocking sled, and they're on this sled. This whole rugby team is on this sled. On the other side of this sled, this is awesome. On the other side of the sled was an Indy car. An Indy car. So these guys, with their shoes on, with I'm sure multiple spikes in them to gain traction and to give them grip so they can stand their ground, were on this sled, and the Indy car punched it. And they held that IndyCar in its spot. Rubber flying everywhere. I mean, this guy was engine revved. They showed the thermal imaging of it, and it was bright orange, like it was hot. But they were able to stand their ground. They had grip. They didn't back down. Those shoes, the readiness of the gospel of peace, bring that to you. They bring stability so that when you are in the middle of the battle, you don't get struck and flung this way and then go this way. They bring stability. They bring protection. The next piece is the shield of faith, which you guys have been looking at here. This is my example of a shield of faith. As you can see, it protected somebody at some point. And nothing got through. So if I'm going into battle, I want my shield. I want my shield. And the scriptures say it's a shield that will extinguish the fiery darts. You guys ever watch any of those gladiator movies, you know, where all the guys have six packs? You know what I'm talking about? And they don't wear nearly enough clothing? It's a dude flick. Why are they putting on, I don't get it. Like, put some clothes on, bro. I don't need to see all that. But anyway, they have their arrows and they light them on fire and then they shoot them across. And for whatever reason, they have great aim with those old arrows. And they strike that wooden shield, and then they catch the whole thing on fire. You guys have seen that, right? The shield of faith is designed to extinguish those arrows. And once again, this is very obvious to them. When they see this and they hear this imagery, they know exactly what's being said. They started like soaking their shields in water so that when an arrow would come across and it would hit it, it would extinguish that arrow. Let me ask you about fiery arrows or flaming arrows from the enemy. Some of you might be thinking, what is this guy talking about? Let me throw one out there. How about lust? How about greed? How about, I haven't seen my family for 3 weeks, but man, I've been making some serious jack. How about worry? Ooh, here's a good one. How about self-doubt? Lack of self-esteem. Those are flaming arrows. When you hear those things and when you feel those things, understand that's the enemy coming after you because you were bought at a price. You are valuable. Don't let him tell you otherwise. Those are lies. He's the author of lies. The shield of faith. Trusting and understanding something that you do not see and believing in it. I'm going to guess, although I look around, I see a little bit of gray hair. I'm going to assume that nobody was here when Jesus was really being hung on that cross. I'm going to assume then that nobody was here when he was raised. However, at least 500 people saw him when he came back from the dead. So for them, it wasn't faith. For them, it was just they saw it. They believed it. They saw it. It was there. For us, it's all about faith. Hey, wait a minute. Is there a song? It's all about faith, faith, faith. Whew. Showing my age, age, age. All right, next one. I want to keep going. This is good. The next piece, the helmet. The helmet of salvation. Listen, salvation, I've said this before, is just when Jesus saves you from certain death. You know, we're all designed and created to live forever in one place or another. So Jesus rushes in and he saves us. Just the same, if you're caught up in a fire and the fireman rushes in and snatches you up and pulls you out of there and all of his gear, he just saved you. That's exactly what Jesus is doing when you ask him to be your savior. He is saving you from certain death. This helmet right here is the helmet of salvation. It's a little bit heavy. It makes my neck feel a little squishy. But it's the helmet of salvation. I think it's interesting that it would protect the head, where about 95% of your battles are happening. Am I right? Am I right? It's the head. It's right there. Helmet of salvation. That's the armor for that piece. And then, of course, the sword. This is the billy club. Some of you knuckleheads may have been on the other end of one of these once, but I forgive you. This is kind of like a sword. But this is what he's talking about. The sword of the Spirit, that is the Word of God. Last service, I got a little preachy, and hell and brimstone and fire and stuff came out. But I don't want to do that this time. I want to be more encouraging this service and tell you that if you don't understand or you don't know your word, you cannot use the only offensive weapon that your Lord and Savior has given you. It's the only offensive weapon that you have. Everything else is so you can stand your ground and stand firm and not lose traction and be driven back into that life of sin. This is your only offensive weapon. It's it. But if we don't open it and we're not in it and we don't know it, then we can't use it. I asked you a little while ago, was Jesus tempted? You said yes. And here's in Matthew chapter 4 is where Jesus is being tempted. He just came out of a long period of time without eating, and the enemy's like, hey, go ahead and make that rock into a piece of bread. And Jesus said, the word says. Every single time Jesus was tempted, he used the word as his sword. Every time. And that's what we have. It's all we have. How else are you going to combat it? And then we need to pray. If you're in the military or really any job, there's very likely that you are spending some time with your commanding officer and he's sharing with you what you're going to be doing either today or this week or something like that. We need to be doing that as well. Prayer is our connection to headquarters. Prayer is our opportunity to talk with the commanding officer and ask him, what is it that you want from me today? Prayer, that's our only opportunity to connect with him. Now, in closing, this is what I was saying earlier, where I think this is where, when people say clothe yourself in Christ, I think this is what they're talking about. Because each piece of this armor reflects Christ. It's his belt of truth. He is truth. It's his righteousness. He sets the standard. If we can't reach perfection, it's okay. We still strive for it. He is the reason for the gospel. He is the gospel. It's his good news that we need to share. And this is where it got a little crazy last service, but I'm going to do it again. And here's my question to you. How much must you hate the people around you and not share the gospel with them? If the gospel is the way to live eternally with God, as opposed to living eternally without him, how much must you hate the people around you to not share the good news with them? That God has sent his son, that he died for us, and he's willing to forgive us for what we've done and still allow us to spend eternity with him in heaven. It's the good news, and we should be sharing it. I'm guilty. I have a neighbor that I want so bad to come here. I don't even care if he comes here. I have a neighbor that I want him to know Jesus so bad. And guess what? I don't do very often. I don't talk about Jesus with him very often. I don't even hang out with him. How much must I hate him? When I think I love him, I'm kind of showing that I hate him. And then there's faith. You got to put your faith in Christ, something that you did not get to see happen, but you have to believe that it did. That's hard. I get it. Salvation that comes only through him, and he, Jesus, is the word. Your sword. It's an incredibly difficult thing for me to do. I cannot be successful in this battle if I wear one of those pieces of armor or if I wear four. I have to wear them all. I mean, come on. If I'm wearing this and I decide to march into battle, I'm an easy target, right? But if I'm wearing everything else and I don't have this, I'm still a pretty easy target. This thing shines. I mean, you can see this thing from a mile away. I don't know how you're going to put it on, but today, I hope that you'll take a couple of minutes, think about what you're missing, and put on that armor. Would you pray with me? Father, thank you so much for this morning, Lord. I thank you for an opportunity to share your word and to be encouraged, God, that you are the author of salvation, that you have given us these defensive pieces to wear, and you've given us your word as an offensive sword. Father, help us as we continue to move forward through the rest of the morning. God, I pray that you'll speak very, very clearly through Pastor Clayton as he moves into communion. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening to the Essential Church Podcast. Let me encourage you to pause for a moment and reflect on what you've heard. It's not the hearing of the word, but the application that makes all the difference.